Lately in PHP Podcast, this is episode 64, and as always, I have here with me a newly
elephant behind you.
Yeah, a new daddy. Hello, Arthur. Oh, congratulations for your newborn son.
Oh, thank you. It's been quite a ride, and this last night was I didn't almost have any sleep. So sorry if I'm zoning out here, but I'll try to stay with you as much as I can.
Okay, and don't forget to mute your microphone in case your son decides to cry again.
Already holding my finger on it.
Okay, but we are here to talk about PHP, and we are going to start right away with the latest versions that have been released, starting precisely for the last PHP 5.4.45, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, this will be the last PHP 5.4 version. As planned, it is always about security fixes. After this, there will be no official release of the PHP 5.4. If there be any fixes, maybe it will be at the expense of maybe some Linux distribution that backports any fixes. But for now, some do, I think. Because they have to support the software that they distribute for the time they decided to support the distribution. So they sometimes need to backport fixes that affect the version they have. They just don't upgrade to a newer major version. And other than that, there is also 5.529, and we are still talking about releases of September, which it is looks, lately.
It looks exactly like the
5.45. Yeah,
it
is precisely. It's exactly the same thing. And as for 5.6, they have actually some bugs. If I'm not mistaken, also 5.5 entered in the security fixes mode, which would explain why the fixes are the same. As for 5.6, there are some fixes there that we can see that are about bugs, not necessarily about security. Personally, I don't see anything special worth noticing, but as always, the recommendation is to take a look, see if any of these fixes affect your software for good. Of course, sometimes fixes break your software that was relying on something that was not well in your software. So as always, you are recommended to test before you put anything in production. And this is just for the five versions releases, but we are already almost, according to the plans, having the final go ahead of PHP 7.0.0 version, which according to the schedule should happen sometime in mid-October. We are recording in the beginning of October, so we are still not sure. There are four release candidates, and I think maybe there will be another one or not. Let's wait and see.
Do you plan some kind of article on PHP Classified before a PHP 7 release, like what to expect or what there will be or how to migrate or anything.
Well,
like that.
Actually, that article was already published months ago, because once the feature set is decided, there won't be many changes. So that article was published many months ago, and what I'm curious about is whether people are planning to upgrade to PHP 7 right away, or maybe later, or maybe when they are forced by their own hosting companies.
That's actually quite interesting, right?
Yeah, well, in my experience, looking at the past, most people do not upgrade right away. Although they are excited about the new features, it's just someday in the future they will use it.
So,
but
maybe
it would be interesting to know.
Yeah, maybe we could ask our listeners to post the comments and tell why, if they would upgrade or not, and why not. And maybe that would give you an idea about an interesting blog post to ensure them to upgrade or not upgrade, I don't know.
Yeah, well, maybe that could be interesting to make a poll and see if the PHP community in general would be interested to upgrade, like, right away or in the next 6 months or never, or when they are forced to, when they have time to test their code.
Upgrading, of course, again, puts you in more work, like maybe porting the older code. I know there were no kind of break features that would break backwards compatibility, or were there any?
Yeah.
So
no, there are plenty of features that break backwards compatibility.
Yeah, so
that's...
upgrading would put more work to users. So maybe the better question would be, in next new project, would you use PHP 7?
Yeah, could be an option to an eventual poll to I'll use it in the next new project.
Exactly.
Or, but not in the current projects. Well, for people that do not control the version that they have in their hosting accounts, I think they will have to keep up with whatever the hosting company decides. If they decide that they have to upgrade, and they have to go ahead and fix the bugs on demand.
I'm checking right now in my hosting. I had an option to select PHP version which I want to run my code on, or specific domain on. So I'm just checking now which versions are available, and I'm interested when would they add PHP 7. Now the latest version they allow me to set is PHP 5.6, which is the current version, right?
Yeah, well, yes, it's the latest, most active version, because I think 5.5 internet security fixes mode, because the trend is to have three releases in somehow active development. One in security fixes mode, the one with fixes that may have new versions, and another that is the
development.
Yeah, in development, but in theory stable enough for use, I think. Okay, anyway, there is PHP 7 RC4, and so I think they will probably have or not one more release candidate, and eventually PHP 7.0 will be released this month. So let's wait and see how the community reacts. We'll get back on that next month to comment. Okay, moving on with another topic. Sharing the screen here. And this topic is interesting because it's related with PDO, PDO, a database access library. One of the reasons for people to push to PDO is that it supports prepared queries, which means that the values of the parameters, the literal parameters used in the queries, will be sort of replaced in a query template, which is called the prepared query.
Basically, it means you won't have to be worried about SQL injections.
Well, in theory, yes, but in the past, I think before PHP 5.1, there was a bug that would allow, for instance, in the case of MySQL, if you insert a special craft values, if you use like some Chinese encoding, you could create a SQL injection there.
It is
But that was a longer
exactly.
time ago, and for that that problem was caused by the emulation of prepared queries, because not all the database supported prepared queries.
And our emulated query is actually slower than when driver handles them directly, right?
Well, that is a good question because that's one argument for and against prepared queries. I mean, native prepared queries. What happens is that if you want to use native prepared queries, you have to communicate with the server to actually tell the server, oh, prepare this query. And there is a round trip. There is an additional access to the server. And if you use emulated prepared queries, that call to the server does not happen. So in theory, prepared queries, I mean native prepared queries, will be worth if you need to repeat the same query with different parameters. For instance, if you are inserting lots of values in a table, lots of records, prepared queries may be worth the native prepared queries in terms of execution time. So the proposal here it was to disable the emulated prepared queries by default. So in the next version, they would be disabled, the prepared queries emulation. And though there was an argument for and against the prepared queries. So I'm not sure if it is consensual. If you, if, you know, you, if the most people say that should be disabled or not. Anyway, if it is worth for your application, you can just control the setting. This is just the default setting, which probably will be used by many shared hosting environments. And well, there I don't think there was a consensus re regarding this proposal, but okay. People just send their ideas, and there was a debate. Probably nothing will change because when there is no consensus, nothing is decided. Maybe the topic will come back later. And moving on, another topic that just came back is about enumerated types. Since PHP is having lots of new features, one feature that has been requested a long time ago was about enumerated types. There is a proposal here. Okay. Well, the proposal is that you can define enumerated types, and you define what are the names of the types that you use. I'm not sure, but now with PHP 7 and the strict typing, if you assign a wrong value, probably it will throw an exception. I'm not sure if this is in the plans, because this proposal was from April, and the discussion was restarted lately in September. Personally, I do not miss them much, but I don't know, maybe for some people programming will look nicer to use some enumerated types instead of some constants. I don't know. Arturus, what do you think? Do you miss enumerated types in any programming language?
Actually, I don't remember to miss them in PHP. Usually create some kind of a HashMap or an array for what I needed, but probably to make the code more understandable, it would be better to use enumeration types.
And yeah, usually I use constants. Well, the problem with constants is that there may be clashes. If you use constants with some name for using some class, what may happen is that, for instance, that other class may use the constants with same names and may cause some confusion. And, well, at least with an enumerated types, you can have enumerated values that belong to a different type, even though they have the same name. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only reason why I would use enumerated types, other than probably making it more readable, but you can also make it more readable with constants. Anyway, moving on to our next topic. Let me share the screen here. There is a debate whether while you are making PHP allow to make it more strict using scalar types, scalar type hinting, why not making it more strict? For instance, when you have a variable that you start with a assign with some value of a certain type, and if you use ahead the same variable and assign it with a different type, probably would be a result of a bug or not. It depends. So the discussion was about this, having making PHP stricter, and I think I can see some value in this proposal. What do you think, Arthur?
I think that kind of like type check and basically what he describes that strict mode should do should be left to code linting tools. Like you run a code, some PHP lint or something like that to your code, and it's
yeah,
it would show you if your variable changes types or is declared somewhere outside the scope and stuff like that. I don't know if it's really needed in the code itself. The only thing that I can come up with, probably in some cases using the same type, it would be much faster than changing the type, so it would improve the code efficiency. But again, if you run it through linting, you would see all the errors and could fix them again. There is no need to put something like that in the language and environment itself.
Yeah, well, in my case, I could think of one or two situations that caused me bugs because I've used in one place one variable for one purpose, but within the same function, I use the same variable name, but it was for a different purpose, and I was overwriting a value that I needed, and that caused me a bug and took me a while to figure it out. So if a more stricter type inting would be in place, probably it would catch this bug earlier.
Now I see. For example, with linting, you would probably hook it up to post commit or something like that. You commit your code, it will check linting and show you there are errors. But if you declare string type in the code, it would allow you to debug while you're writing the code. Okay, yeah, that could be useful.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you can use lint without even committing. Sometimes I got I'm having the bug, but I even haven't committed the code to understand what was going on. It was just the fact that sometimes you can give variables the same names, but in different sections of the code they have different purposes.
True, but you would not think like, oh, there is a bug, let me debug it. You would not think, oh, there is a bug, let me try to run a lint on it. You would try to debug it. Usually.
Well, maybe sometimes when everything else fails, having a habit to use a linter to detect bugs that you are not seeing could be your last hope to figure what happened. Yeah. Anyway, there are some people that argue that there is plenty of code out there that uses variables with the same names, but assign different types in different sections of the code, and that is not a bug. So making it an error would probably break some code. So I think this idea will not pass. So, moving on with the next topic, let me share the screen here. Well, the idea here is to introduce generics into PHP. Generics is how it is called in Java. I think in C++ they call it templates.
Yeah, templates. But yeah. Also they are called generic templates.
Yeah. So the idea is that it would allow you to define some code that you would use as a sort of a template, but you have some marks like this here that define parameters that would be changed throughout your code. Usually these parameters are types. I'm not sure.
Yeah, there are types because the templates are basically in strict type to languages only, and it would allow to easily create a class to handle like a hash map, for example, for different types of keys and values and all the combinations. You would not need to program all the combinations, you just define a template.
Well, I know. Well, personally, I never missed the templates. It's not like I'm having classes that are so similar that you just change a type and it becomes a different thing. But I understand this is more for strict type languages. That, for instance, let's say if they want to sort an array. Sorting an array of integers would require them to pass an array of integers. So the type verification would have to match. And sorting array of strings, it would also have to match, but strings. So, well, probably with strict typing makes sense, but it is something that I personally have not had a need in my projects. It's not that I do not see the value, but
it does not really make sense to have such things in weakly typed languages. It's basically we have weakly typed languages to have loose types, and now we try to strict them. and that would make us write more code because of we need to handle different types, and then we place generic templates to again handle it easier. So we are creating problems for ourselves and then trying to create solutions for them. That kind of seems wrong and maybe not going in the direction that I would want it to go. But I understand that, of course, strict types would mean better performance for PHP and stuff like that. But that's probably not
something I will be maybe using. Yes. I don't know if it necessarily mean. Probably better performance if you are compiling to native code, which in the current PHP version is not yet possible. But we don't know if things go in that direction in the future. At least Facebook hack is based on HHVM. It supports JIT compilation, so it is compiled to native code of the underlying machine, and the probably benefits of strict typing to not trying to guess types. You can assume that whatever is returned from certain functions are of certain types and can write less code or faster code. Now for the current PHP version, even PHP 7 version, I'm not sure if we are there yet. Maybe in the future, if there will be a JIT engine, we'll have to wait and see. Now moving on to another discussion. It's not even a feature, it's a proposal.
But it's a very interesting discussion. It's a question.
Yeah. It's about making the async and await words future reserved words for the future. So this means that it would disallow using these words. For instance, you could not call classes async or await or whatever because they would be reserved. And the idea is to precisely prevent that in the future when if these keywords become in use, do not cause problems with future code. And what are these async and await keywords? Basically, these are keywords that are being used with exactly the same names in different languages, like Facebook hack already supports them. ECMAScript 6, which will be the future of JavaScript, also supports them. And basically, they allow to handle code that runs asynchronously. I mean, code that depends on operations that can be running in parallel. Like, for instance, accessing files, accessing database servers, accessing remote network servers. And with async and await specifically would tell the compiler that the code that is run, that is defined in front of the await keyword, will be asynchronous. I mean, only when it completes a certain asynchronous condition, it will resume and return to that code. Well, anyway, this is not yet a plan to implement these features. This is just to make these words reserved in case these features are implemented. Personally, I think this feature will be implemented sooner or later. But in practice, the discussion that went on this topic, people claim that PHP internally would have to go through a huge rewrite because it was not planned from the scratch to be handled as an asynchronous language, like, for instance, JavaScript.
And it is not an asynchronous language.
Yeah, well, certain calls, if you call them, they block. which means that, for instance, if you try to establish a connection to a server, it will block until the connection is established. There are some functions that now can work asynchronously, like, for instance, reading or writing to our network connection. You can set the stream to be asynchronous, and it will not block if there is no, for instance, no data to read, and that. But that's up to your application to handle that condition. Now, with await, you could tell the code to only resume to the next next statement if
when it is complete.
Yeah, exactly. If the operation that is asynchronous is completed. Well, this is interesting because we see this in other languages, and I think somehow PHP developers, core developers, will feel pressure to implement this, even though it is a complicated feature.
Yeah, that is why I call this discussion very interesting, because it when I just read the question, I knew I would need to read through it all. Because it's really interesting to see other PHP developer opinions on implementing multi-threading in PHP, and especially seeing the core team response to that. And well, while it was kind of negative, like not negative, but that criticism negative, but negative, like, well, it's PHP is not meant for that, and it will be hard and stuff like that. But on the other hand, there were no response like, no, there won't be such feature. So it's, as you said, it's probably possible that it would come to PHP eventually.
Yes, for now the decision is to whether to make it reserved or not.
Yeah.
The keywords, not the feature.
Yeah.
If the feature will come in the future, fine. If the feature doesn't come, well, too bad. And what can we do? But I think somehow the developers will be pressured, and not just because of Facebook hack, because somehow Facebook hack has been a great motivation for the core developers to implement a faster Zend engine, but also because at least part of the developers are moving to Node.js. And now that Node.js has become consolidated, there was a sort of divorce of the community. They now got together. They released 4.0 recently, and already released 4.1. They are working very fast. And I think Node.js will become the strongest competitor to PHP as it is now, because Node.js is adopting ECMAScript 6 features, including async and await, I think. I don't know if they are implemented already, but if they are not, they will be, because they solve a great objection about Node.js, which is dealing with the callback hell. Everything that is asynchronous, we have to deal with the callback hell. And so the Node.js community is asking for that. So we'll be progress sooner or later. I'm not even sure if it isn't already implemented, because I haven't been following in detail. Artus, do you know if async and await is already available in Node.js?
I have not checked the latest version. We are using it in production, so we need quite a testing environment. So I have not played with the latest version yet. Can't tell you if it's there or not.
Yeah, since that's something interesting to know. And moving on with the next topic, there is also an interesting discussion about something that we have talked in the JavaScript podcast recently.
I just checked a little again backtracking of the Node.js 8. I think in a 8, and there are modules providing such functionality. One of them is called Callback Heaven.
Oh, I see. Yeah, but ideally it would become a built-in feature.
Yeah.
And talking about that, the idea of the next topic is something that we already seen in ECMAScript 6. Let me move it here. So the idea here is to exactly copy the feature. The feature is to have this arrow operator, and it would be equivalent. Well, this expression would be equivalent to this code.
Basically, create an anonymous function, a closure with a passing parameter and returning parameter.
Exactly. Just with less typing. I mean, typing characters, not types. So with this, you would write less code. For instance, instead of writing all this code, you just write just this code. Well, I don't know if this is a big deal, not to mention it would make the code less readable.
In JavaScript, it's actually much better because it also binds this to the anonymous function if you are using it in a class and stuff like that. So it's really useful in JavaScript, in ECMAScript 6 that would be that currently usable with Babel.js and stuff like that. I don't know if it could be applied to PHP 2, maybe, that anonymous function called in a class would be in this context to it. So inside the function, you could also use context of your class.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Personally, I don't know if this is important. This is just synthetic sugar, and even I'm not sure if sugar is the right expression, because it seems to be less readable.
But all ternary operators are less readable.
Yeah, but at least we already got used to them. That's the difference. I don't know if this proposal is going anywhere. We have to wait and see what goes on. But hello.
How are you?
Do you have a camera?
Yes.
Do you want to turn on and comment on these topics that we are discussing?
Sorry?
Do you want to comment on these topics that we are discussing?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Water is equal to hydrogen, helium, lithium, and beryllium, and less PHP. Basically, I'm a newbie to coordinator MVC, PHP.
Okay, but do you want to comment on anything that we said before, or just want to watch?
I just want to watch what you are doing.
Okay.
Sorry for interrupt you, guys.
No, sorry. That's okay. If you have any comments or suggestions.
I'm really new in this platform.
Okay. Sorry. No problem.
Thank you. Well, now you can carry on. Okay.
Well, anyway. We are talking about this feature. Basically, we have covered it. Not exactly, there is anything else to say.
There is one last thing I want to mention, that with all the additions around in hack language, in JavaScript, ECMAScript, new standards, it's only natural that PHP developers want more from PHP 2, and as we see, all from these suggestions are taken from, as I said, from ECMAScript standards.
Yeah.
It's, it's a new world, it's a new age, and PHP wants to follow it. At least PHP developers want to follow it.
Yeah, well, anyway, there must be proposals and they must be compelling to the point that people have to agree that it actually aggregates value to the language and not make it more complicated unnecessarily. Anyway, moving on to our next topic, basically just to comment something that I should have commented last month is that we used to comment on the latest articles and latest reviews posted in the site, but since that I was making the podcast even longer than it is, we are recording it separately, and so I'm just briefly mentioning the topics of the articles, not even discuss them. There was an article about improving your PHP code performance using preemptive cache. There was another article on creating an Ajax-based PHP shopping cart. There was another article on starting long servers, long server PHP scripts, and monitor their status. I mean, scripts that take a long time to complete and see how they are going. This article is actually split in three parts. The last part was published today. And there was another article, actually, one that I wrote about a problem that the user had with accessing images of direct messages. When you send a direct message to another user and you attach an image, if you want the API to retrieve the image, you have to send an OAuth request, but that is not very well documented in Twitter API, so the article is about this. And now, finally, just comment about some books that were reviewed, WooCommerce cookbook, and there was also a video, a tutorial video, up to speed with PHP 7, which is a video that talks about the new features and how you can take advantage of them. And finally, there is a book about learning design patterns applied to PHP. But this will be commented all in a separate recording. Now we are going to comment on the Innovation Award. As always, we do it every month. And we are going to start by the nominees of July 2015, in this case, of JavaScript. We had like five nominees, and Arturs, which ones would you like to comment? Oh, there is one that you should comment.
Yeah, one of the packages I want to comment is actually my package. Not that I'm thinking it's the best or something, but just I would probably know the most about it to share with you. And it's a JavaScript mobile app detection. And basically, what it does, it allows you to detect if user has an app installed on your iOS or Android phone. So how it works is that apps have some custom URL schemes that they could register to the device. And when someone tries to open that custom URL scheme, it would open your app and passing data to it. And many websites use it. For example, providing links on the website that you click on, you would go to that specific app's specific section, like for a news reading app, for example. Problem is that if user does not have your app installed, the link would go nowhere. It would simply show the error. So what my class does, it tries to detect if the app is installed and it opens, or there is an error, and then it could redirect to user's specific platform, either to iOS store or Android Google Play store to your application. So yeah, you are not losing your readers by clicking on the for providing custom rel scheme links in your page.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you detected it by catching an error when trying to open the application.
Yes, something like that. It's a little more complex. There are different things to handle in different browsers for different platforms. For example, for some reason, Google decided that Chrome should not open URL schemes directly, but use intent scheme to open other schemes, and you need to work around that. And there are many things that I needed to work around to make it work.
That's very useful class. Yeah. And okay, what else?
The next one I want to comment is a multifunctional file reader by something new. Oh, there it is. Andras Toth from Hungary. And what this class does, it allows, we all know that with HTML5 we have a little more what we can do with files around the files, especially the drag and drop file upload that I see many websites are using. And this class exactly provides it. It allows you to set, I don't know if there is a demo. Yeah. So it allows you to set some HTML element on which you click, it would open a file upload dialog, or you can drag and drop a file. And it's opened in my other window, I think. Yeah. Or drag and drop a file and it will allow the upload. So it's a simple package that does this one cool feature. And Andres, he did not get yet the price, probably. Not yet.
Yeah. Well, on my behalf, I also like to comment on a few packages. Let me start by this one, but first I need to share the screen. Well, this one is a package that manages a chat room. So it has two sides, the client side and the server side. And it uses Node.js on the server side and Socket.io to if possible, we use WebSockets. And this is an interesting package by a friend of USF, Brunner. Basically, he is the winner of the month because he provided a complete chat-based system that did not exist before. So congratulations to Franz. Franz did not want to pick a prize. He's participating, he was just for the fun of participating. The next package that I want to comment is called MongoFilter. It allows you to filter a collection of items using the MongoDB syntax. It has supports a set of operators that allows you to define a criteria to traverse a collection of elements, objects. And you define conditions with the operators like these that you see here. And this package was developed by Jonathan Gotti from France. And he has picked one book of choice by PACT. Finally, the other one that I wanted to comment is called Temporary Disposable Email Address Validator. And it's a package by Suresh Kumar from India. Basically, it can look at the domain of an email address, for instance, that you enter in a form, and if it is known to be of a temporary disposable email address provider, you can reject it, so you don't accept, for instance, users registering with your with temporary addresses. And for this, Suresh picked a book from O'Reilly. Now moving on with the just commenting the current ranking of innovation award. Unfortunately, the JS classes doesn't have many authors participating, so the rankings are more or less the same. Basically, Anders Toth is ahead with 23 points and 6 packages, but now is followed closely by Suresh Kumar with 4 packages and 13 points, Jackson Alton 2 packages and 9 points, Diego LaMonica and Stefan Chapman, and Arthur Sosius are now tied with 8 points in 4th place. Dusan Boskic, Gianluca Ferrari are tied with 7 points. And finally, Everton, De Rosa, and Franz Josef Brunner are tied in 9th place with 6 points. By countries, things are more or less equivalent because apart from a few countries, most countries only have one participant. In this case, Hungary is ahead with 6 points, 6 packages and 23 points. India with 6 packages and 20 points follows in second place. In third place, United States with 3 packages and 10 points. Then comes France with France is tied with Australia, Latvia, and Italy with 8 points. And they are followed by Serbia and Netherlands with 7 points, and Brazil is in 10th place with 6 points and 1 package. So now we are going to move on to the Innovation Award of PHP, and we are going to comment on the winners of July that were nominated in August, and in September results come out. So Arthur, which ones would you like to comment?
Yeah, so there are a couple ones I like the most. One is of them is definitely PHP Sentiment Analyzer by Samuel Adesina from Nigeria. And it's an AI, artificial intelligence package, where you can train a set of data to recognize the sentiment in the text, either it would be positive or negative. And I actually tried it and it works pretty great. As I understood from examining the code, I think there is actually a tutorial about it, right? On the
actually we already commented about it because it was published in the other month.
Yeah, so if you want to know how it works, go and read out the tutorial that written and published.
If you click on the package blog link, you find the tutorial articles.
Yeah, so there are even 2 parts. So really good package, really works great. And if you need some kind of AI text testing for positive, negative feedbacks, this package could go great, and go and read how it works here.
Yes, actually, it's from Samuel Adesina, and he has been sending great contributions, not just this one.
And he got one book of choice by PACT for this package. And next one I want to comment is a package called PHP Favicon Generator by Dmitry Mamatov from Russia. And apart from generating a Favi icon for your website, probably see an example. It's quite a simple function call that draws, creates the image. So apart from simply generating it, you can also generate different Favi icons for different platforms, like for Android or for Apple or for Microsoft and stuff like that. So that's why I found this package really cool. And Dmitry got 1 year, several license IP to country for this package.
Okay, on my behalf, I would like to also comment on several packages. The first one I would like to comment, it's interesting because several things. One is that this package is developed by Eustáquio Rangel de Oliveira from Brazil. He developed a package that is ORM, but it's another package. It's called TORM. He created a package that basically allows you to add capabilities to index the records in the database table that is being mapped to objects using Elasticsearch. That's one curious aspect. That's very interesting. You use a database, but then we index it with Elasticsearch for searching purposes.
Exactly.
And the other aspect is that this package actually implements a trait. And the trait is basically a piece of code that you can insert in any other class to add certain features. You don't need to inherit from it. You just use that trait. So this trait could be used in many classes, many ORM classes. So that's a very interesting idea. And Eustáquio did not want to pick a prize. It just participating for fun, which is always great. So moving on to the next package that I wanted to comment is called Pint Apache Status. It is to display the current request that is being handled by an Apache server. It was developed by Axel Hahn from Switzerland. And this package provides a nicer user interface. I don't know if you ever seen the status module of Apache. It shows you the request, but it's quite ugly user interface, it's very confusing.
Is there a screenshot?
Sorry?
Is there a screenshot, do you know?
Yes. There are several screenshots. This is way nicer than the Apache status module provides. And this is not only useful, but also nicer.
Also beautiful, yeah.
Yeah. So congratulations to Axel. Axel did not want to pick a prize. Basically covered all packages. So now let's see how is the award rankings of the Innovation Award by winners, by individuals. Dave Smith is ahead, well ahead, with 9 packages and 88 points, and followed by Matthew Knowlton, also for the United States, with 4 packages and 53 points. Then Dimitri Mamontov with 4 packages and 42 points, and then Samuel Alcino with 3 packages and 35 points. Gali Ahmed with 3 packages and 26 points follows in 5th place. Then Wap Morgan with 5 packages and 24 points from Russia in 6th place. In 7th place, we have 3 authors tied with 22 points: Alessio Felicioni, Till Wiwaski, then 10. And finally, Mustafa Abel Ahmed with 2 packages and 19 points. This is the ranking by author. By country, the United States is well ahead in the competition with 15 packages and 149 points. And it is followed by Russia with 3 packages, 13 packages and 99 points. Russian is also doing well, but it's still a bit lagging. Then Nigeria with 5 packages and 50 points. Then Germany with 7 packages and 45 points. Then India with 5 packages and 40 points. Egypt, 4 packages and 36 points. Tunisia with 4 packages and 32 points. Spain, 3 packers and 29 points. France, 3 packers and 36 points. And finally, Italy with 2 packers and 22 points. So this year, there have been a lot of great contributions that contributed with many packers being nominating and earning many points to the winners in their countries. So far, it's going well. So basically, with this, we practically ended this podcast. Just keep in mind that we'll have a separate recording podcast for books, book reviews, and the latest tutorial articles, and another about the detailed comments on the Innovation Award, instead of just commenting about a few. So on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.